And welcome back to the Moms That Say It All Wrong, but want to get it right. I'm Shauna, and I am the mother of a non-binary child who goes by the pronouns they, them. And today, Jen is not joining us, but a very good friend of mine from college, Mandy, is. We're going to ask some questions of my dear friend, because Mandy and I went to college together. When we were in college, we had two other roommates, so there was four of us, that we all had our suspicions that Mandy was a lesbian. However, you never shared that with us. I'm just going to kind of dive in because I want to know about you and your background. And as you were growing up, when did you realize that you were a lesbian or that you were not part of like the norm of what everybody else around you?
I was probably about 10 or 11 when I knew. Nothing bad had ever happened to me. I was never abused. Yeah, I noticed I was definitely different. I was definitely, you know, little girls were talking about marrying. It didn't fit. So I just hung back with my guy friends, and it wasn't until a lot later that I could actually put a name to whatever I was.
I appreciate you saying that, because a lot of times we get from parents or from other people, how do they know that young? They haven't been in a relationship. They haven't kissed another girl, or they haven't kissed a boy, or any of those pieces.
Well, it's, and you know me, I'm a smart aleck.
Yep.
And I try to be as political as I can, but it doesn't always come out. Well, that was one of the questions I get asked a lot is, how did you know so young? It's like, well, how old were you when you knew you were straight? A lot of people come at, well, I've always known. Same here.
Right.
So to speak.
In another podcast, I was talking about my child. When they were three, they were in the bathtub with ducks that are bride and groom. And I will never forget, they looked at me and they go, wouldn't it be funny if like a girl duck could marry a girl duck and a boy duck could marry a boy duck? Mm-hmm. And I was like, so they can. I remember their eyes getting as big as saucers and going, that is so cool. So that was the first indication. I was like, huh, at three, you're already talking about wanting to know if people of the same gender can marry each other. Mm-hmm. So you figured it out in high school. Now we're all in college together. I feel like we were all pretty close.
We're very close.
We were all really blunt with each other. There was nothing that was left untouched, I felt like, back then. But yet you didn't tell us.
I want to say college was going to be my big coming out, so to speak. You know, different town. Was one of the first people I had met, none of my close friend group there. Actually, that was the first thing they said to me is, you're not one of those lesbians, are you? Shut it down. Kind of made me see, kind of went to cowboy college, so
we did, yeah.
It started to shut me down, and then met you guys. It wasn't that question, there was that natural comfort and just like kindred spirits, and I'm like, okay, well I'll just get to know them, and then I'll tell them.
Okay.
It was like this immediate bond, and the more that first person, what they had said, and a lot of the trauma that I had been through growing up, I couldn't bring you guys into that world. Because I know just in that first few days that we had met, I'm like, these are my people. I guess it was more of a protective thing. There was nothing you guys said or did that made me feel like I couldn't. Allies back then are completely different from the allies of today.
Right.
Allies back then, you could get beat up, you could get shamed, you could get physically hurt back then.
It was right around the Matthew Shepard time.
It was that summer before, I believe.
Right. Our college wasn't far from there.
No, it wasn't.
It makes me sad in some ways, but it also makes me just love you so much more because you were trying to protect us. And I feel like for the most part, you were you.
Well, and that was the great thing, is I didn't have to hide anything, except for that one little thing.
The one
itty bitty thing.
Right.
it was all me, everything. I mean, that was coming out enough for me. Okay. So I didn't have to act too girly, or I didn't have to act a certain way.
So now you're of adult age. You have older children. There's family members that are also a part of the LGBTQIA+ community. Mm-hmm. Lots of times, us moms who are not a part of the community and we're trying to like figure it out, really think that you all have it way easier because you're already like in the communities. You just know stuff.
Yeah, no. I can firmly say we are all getting it wrong. It doesn't matter if you have two moms, two dads, a mom and a dad. We're all going to get it wrong, and we're going to mess things up a lot. The pronouns, something completely new to me. Well, within the last few years. Having family members that are trans, no, I mess up the pronouns. I mess up the names. I will say the name and not get an answer. And then being the mom, you want your children to respond right away. But yeah, I mess it up a lot, daily. As a parent, being able to say, I'm sorry. Or being able to sit down with your kid and say, this is new to me. Because for the last 16 years, this is who you were. For the last 16 years, I've been calling you this. You're going to have to give me a little bit of leeway and not be afraid to correct me. It happens, or sometimes you just get a dirty look, but I don't know if that's just because you called them the wrong name or because they're a teenager.
Right.
This generation's journey is a lot different than, say, our generation.
Right. And you bring up a really important point that I think we need to emphasize, is that lots of times when they're teenagers, no matter what you do, you're wrong. You're going to get a dirty look no matter what, because there's just hormones. You screwed up on a pronoun or you screwed up on a name, even if your child was not a part of that community, you would still get a dirty look because you made a comment about their shirt or said it was dinner time or...
Good morning.
Good morning. So I think that is important, that as long as you're trying and making a conscious effort to try, you're willing to say sorry.
And have discussions. When our child came out, it was... through text. So, and part of me, it kind of set me back, because I'm like, okay, look, you have two moms.
Right.
We should get this, right? Yeah, like, I'm prepared. But they said we didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Okay, well, we didn't make a big deal out of it. Apparently that was teenager four. We wanted a conversation. Having those conversations, plus the teenage parent relationship, there is no handbook. Part of the community, I can tell you now, there is no handbook how to deal with it or how to address anything.
I think that makes me feel better. You know stuff and you still screw up. Yeah. So we can all screw up together. But I think we're also all trying to figure it out. And again, lots of times our kids are teenagers and they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do what they say they want, but that's not really what they want.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to talk about it. And there was somebody that had reached out to me and said, you know, my child said that they didn't want to talk about it. And then they put it on Facebook. And I was like, that's key for, I want to talk about it. So do you have any advice? Like, how do you bring it up when somebody says, I don't want to talk about it, but there's clear signs that they want to talk about it?
I don't know. It's just letting them know that when they are ready to talk about it. Because, I mean, to teenage age, they're going to talk to their friends and social media about it before they talk to their parents about it. But just letting them know when you are ready to talk about it, and being able to shut up and listen and not just talk. Because I'm a talker. I think some of my past experiences also, I didn't really want to talk about it. I want them to be straight because it's safer and that, you know.
Right.
Which is not the way. But just letting them know that I'm here when you need me. And not be mad when they put it on Facebook and Instagram, and just be there for them and love them. I mean, that's all you can do.
Again, I agree with you 100%, and there's no right way. So when I say we're getting it wrong, I don't know that we're getting it wrong. We're doing it the way that we're doing it. And as long as it really comes from a loving heart.
Yeah.
And I appreciate hearing from you too, that there still is that fear.
Oh, it's a lot of fear. My wife and I got married when it became legal in Arkansas, which was 5 years ago. Sorry, honey. I don't know. But we've been together for 13. I know that. I can give you the date. Because we just went to the courthouse. And it was one of those, we'd seen it on the news. We voted, but nah, it's never going to pass.
Right.
So
it's Arkansas.
When it passed, we kind of looked at each other and like, holy, you want to go? There was no big romantic proposal. It was just like... Shotgun wedding, honey. We're going to the courthouse now. But there was still that fear. We parked 5 blocks away and walked in. There was a few protesters out front, but we walked in through the back. And at the time, I'd been working with the courts for quite a few years. And half the deputies there that day saw me and ushered. So we had like an armed escort. Yeah, there was that fear, because I've been a victim of violence due to being gay. My wife, that's her story to tell, but she's been a victim of violence. But the area in Arkansas that we live in Northwest Arkansas, is pretty good. My job and everything, nothing has to do with my identity. It's all about my work. I'm appreciated for that. We're accepted. We were soccer moms for a while, but you know, you didn't come out. When we were in high school, when we were in college, people died. People
literally
were assaulted.
Because that's the stories that you grew up with. Do you have those fears for your kids?
Every day. Every day. Even though I know it's better
right
now, but it still happens.
Right.
I mean, it's a fear as any parent that, you know, your kid's going to get hurt just stepping out the door. But when you have, I guess, that label on you, you know, right now, me being a lesbian is trendy, I guess. Like, when that became cool is weird. But I mean, there's a lot of trans violence.
Right.
There's a lot towards our community.
So do you ever have those conversations with your kid? Because I know when my child came out as being a lesbian, no shock. When they came out as being non-binary and wanting they, them pronouns, that's where I got fearful for them, that there would be a lot more judgment. Because like you said, I don't think I get to say it's trendy, but I do think there's a lot more acceptance for being gay. But I don't think that translates to the rest of the community. I was taken back only because I was scared for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll accept my kid for whoever. If they become a unicorn, I am in. But it doesn't take away my fear. So do you ever have those conversations with your child of being fearful for their safety?
I do. And I think where I'm getting it wrong is, you know, we'll talk about like the news shows, what we see on there, and I haven't really talked to them about my trauma. I don't want them afraid to come out because of my fear. I mean, everybody freaked out when Ellen kissed somebody all those many years ago on TV.
And now look at her.
And now you turn on the TV and it's like, okay. Like, this is every channel. It gives me a sense of pride, but for my generation and even the older generations in the community, like, it is scary. You know, everything was behind closed doors. You didn't hold your partner's hand out in public. Definitely didn't come out to family. I mean, it was like a secret. Years and decades of keeping things hidden, and all of a sudden, you can be out and about. I mean, it took my wife and I quite a few years together before we would, you know, hold hands in Walmart. That's just not the weirdest thing that you've seen in Walmart.
So how does your child respond when you guys have those conversations?
Eye rolls. And
awesome.
I think the part of it is there's more acceptance now than it was back in the day. But at the same time, trying to have those conversations without it becoming a lecture. You know, once you start lecturing a teenager, it doesn't matter how they identify. It's the eye roll and shut you out.
We have the same type of things going on here. And we do approach it a lot with the news and
mm-hmm.
like what the stories are. So it's not so personal. But when I do become preachy, then you don't understand. And I do understand from a different lens, but they're not ready to hear that lens. So I think it just comes back to, regardless of who your child is, it's just loving them through it.
Yeah.
And creating those opportunities to have conversation. I have talked with my kid a couple of times and said, you know, why didn't you tell me all of it in the beginning? And part of it was, even though I thought I was creating that door to have conversations, whether it was my reactions to other things around me or there was other people in the room and I was like, hey, talk to me. They were like, I'm not going to talk about this in front of other people. So just being conscious of when you say you have that open door policy or you're opening those conversations,
mm-hmm.
are you really?
Well, and it's their story to tell. I do work with at-risk teens, and you know, there's the small portion of the LGBT family, rainbow family, y'all, too many letters. You know, when I work with them, I don't want to come out. Like, that's fine. It's their story to tell, and they have to tell it in the way that they feel comfortable. Forcing anybody to come out puts them at risk and puts them in danger. Because there's not always the moms that get it wrong that are going to accept them no matter what. There's family members that could disown them or kick them out. It's one of the biggest problems with the adolescent population in the LGBT community.
But I appreciate that you are bringing that to our attention, and I appreciate you so much for being here and sharing your story and letting us know that the moms that feel like they're doing it all wrong but truly are trying to do it right are going to make a positive impact.
Of course.
And I am super lucky to have Mandy back. We're going to do another show about, does God make mistakes? So I hope that you will join us next time. But until then, let's keep loving our children, loving ourselves, and trying to get it right.